Welcome to the Fantasy Hockey Pros Podcast. Welcome to the show. Take two. For those who, I mean, you wouldn't know.
How would anybody know what just happened?
Yeah, now you just sewered us. That's what you did.
We got it. You sewered Brian.
Way to go.
You sewered Brian because Brian's the goofball here.
We had some tech issues. We recorded like a quarter of the show, and then Brian's like, "I'm not recording." So we're back though. We're all good. We're all good. Didn't even need to bring that up, but I did.
No, good. I'm glad you did.
Yeah, thanks.
Original four pack: Anth, Joe, Ed, Brian. Guy comes back for his first show in 2024 and screws it all up. So
yeah.
Brian,
yeah,
we haven't heard from you in a while. We brought on the show that you went on this random trip to Portugal nobody knew about. You better have a good story, sir.
It was amazing. We did a lot of things. Went there for a game with like all my cousins and uncles and ate great food. I played golf. Of course, there was unreal. To streamline the summarize the trip, I might have been in Portugal, but I visited and I was in three other countries at the same time. So... you can read between the lines there and figure that one out.
A four pack, all in one.
That's it.
I want more. I want the preseason. This guy to ask Joe, let you guys in a conversation here. Preseason. This guy.
I remember this conversation. I remember he said it on the pre-shows in one of the pods, I believe.
Okay. He said, "This season, I'm gonna let it fly. I don't care anymore. I don't care who's listening. I don't care that my mom sometimes listens."
No, she doesn't listen, but yeah.
I am going to let it be known that I am a man whore. So I want you.
I don't think that's at all my words, but
okay. No, Ryan never.
Here's
Ryan
my
never says
here's
that.
Mike skewing the facts.
No, I guess you don't consider yourself that. I mean, we can pull.
You want to put a poll up there?
Hey, yeah, we don't do that either. How about that one? Hey, if Nelly Furtado can come out with a song about being a promiscuous girl, god damn it, I can be a promiscuous man.
Damn right you can. You got every right.
The gremlins got into your computer, Bri. Let's put it that way. The other countries that you visited.
Yeah, there's things that happened. Things that happened that I'll have for the rest of my life.
To give you credit, Bri, you are an honest, promiscuous man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Hey, you made it to the pod, though. And from the group chat, I think you and Lopo were out partying a little bit last night.
Yeah,
and
it was his...
And you made it, but he didn't.
Yeah, it was his... I kept saying girlfriend, but I guess fiance. But I always just call you a girlfriend until you're married. So it was his girlfriend's surprise birthday. So yeah, he did it up. He rented like a floor in a bar downtown. And a lot of people there, 50, 60 people. And it was good. Good time, good music. They had some good food, drinking. And yeah, he was there and he's like, "Well, I'm gonna tell him I'm not making it." And I'm like, "Yeah, I don't even know why you committed to coming in the first place. Like, you're not gonna make it."
He was so dead set in the group chat. I'm there. I gotta be out by a certain time, but I'm there.
Yeah, I was laughing and I'm like, I don't know how high this guy is currently, but he's not making the show. So, yeah, he was actually going to message earlier and be like, "I'm out." And I'm like, "No, wait a little bit." So, you know, at least looks like you're drunk. You know what I mean? So, but,
The truth comes out.
Yeah. I told him immediately when I got there, I'm like, "You're not coming tomorrow." I'm like, I'm making sure you're not coming.
Hey,
I'm going to get you drunk so that you're not coming.
Did you listen to our show last week? Last week's episode?
Tidbits. My brother was giving me the rundown, actually. I was with dinner with him the other day, and he was telling me how... he was telling me, in true FHB style, Mike said, "You guys have 10 minutes to discuss this," and it took over half the show. your little trade topic there. So that was pretty... He once again asked me about it yesterday. He's like, "I'm not mad. I'm not mad. I just like... Honestly, what do you think?" And I just started laughing. But yeah, it's been so long since it actually happened. I don't even remember what the details of the trade was, to be honest. So
we're that's just not even what I was
the first part. You weren't even
gonna
involved.
Bring that up anyway. I was Lopo. the golf course that you played in Portugal, Lopo said the name of it. I just want to know if he said it properly. I kind of wanted to hear you say it.
Waitish?
He definitely didn't say that.
He said
he's probably wearing green jeans. Yeah, of course. He's an idiot.
So, but props to you for being on the show, Brian.
Yeah.
I guess your big night was Friday because, you know, I got some people on the ground. They said they spotted you at a Cougar Bar Friday, and I guess you did a little bit more damage over there before. And then I guess you took it easy last night. Is that what happened?
First off, it's not a Cougar Bar. It's just the only real bar in Woodbridge that people go to. So there happens to be people of the elderly persuasion, but also many people in their 20s, and it's actually a pretty wild mix of age gap of people. But I don't know what you're talking about, buddy. I don't know your sources. I want you to name names. You can say it off the record, but this has to be aired out.
Confirm or deny.
You got plants all over the town over here, apparently. I don't know.
Is it the Berg?
I know,
Brian?
Everybody.
Was it the Berg?
Knows me.
No. It's a place called Jezebel.
Oh.
I've never even heard of that.
But anyways, it was a fun night that led to homemade pasta being made at 4 o'clock in the morning. Because McDonald's was closed, so it probably turned out for the better. And
McDonald's was closed?
Yeah, I guess I don't know what they were doing, what's going on, but So what? It was a good night. It was a good night.
I don't know if I could do a full plate of pasta at 4 a.m., man.
It was pasta olio, so it's like nice with a little bit of pepper sauce. So like it was pretty light, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Plus, it wasn't me making it, so I didn't really have a choice.
Yeah.
You just ate it.
Yeah.
All right. We can keep going around. Thanks, Brian.
No problem.
Thanks for being on the show. First time.
Thanks, buddy.
2024.
Glad to be here.
Joe, I'm gonna go to you, but I'm hesitant because it's more of the
same thing. When you get close to 40, it's the same routine with kids. It's nothing out of this world special.
Okay.
It's or crazy, there, should Joe. I say? Yeah, that's it.
Twans, what's up with you?
Same shit. I got nothing to report. Just enjoying the beautiful weather down here in Florida. That's about it.
Nice. Not much in my end. It's been a lack of newsworthy week.
As always, I'm holding it down for the show in that department.
I did secure my spot. When I say secure my spot in the All-Star Skills Comp, it sounds like
what are you, fastest skater? What are you doing?
Fastest runner.
Most shots. Fastest runner. Most bad angle shots that lead to breakaways. Yeah, you can be in that competition.
Brian and Brad's always had this thing, Mike, where they never want to compliment you.
Ever.
Mike, if there was a breakaway challenge, you could start by again missing the net is the
dumping
best
in the corner
lead breakout
dumping
pass
in the corner.
You can have.
Mike, you were that guy. No. Like Mike, your relationship with Gratz, our coach, was always like. Mm-hmm. You could score as many goals, but he always had something against you. Like, I will never forget that goal that you scored. And you got to the bench, and Gratz gave you shit. He goes, Mike, you got to watch on those shots. If you miss them, it goes right back the other way. And he's like, you're like, Gratz, I scored.
Yeah, that's exactly. I remember.
You know why? And I'll defend him. Is because Mike is so good that he can never let Mike rest on his laurels. He always had to challenge him to be better, you know?
Well,
he pushed me.
That's kind
he's
of a
like Mike Torts, you know?
See, that's
Mikey
what a,
that's Pumpy
a real
time over
right there.
You're giving some Mike some love.
I'd say he's like my Torts and I'm his Atkinson, but he's never busted in my ass, so I can't say that.
Now we're starting rumors.
Oh boy.
We'll move right along.
Where are we gonna go to?
Yeah.
No, I'll never forget.
Busting to another, I guess.
I'll never forget the guy friggin' I caught it, I got past the ball. Okay, it was a little catch and release, bar down. And I go back to the bench, he's like, Mike, one time that, what are you doing? Like, grats. Like, oh my God. It's 4-3 us with 2 minutes left. What are you talking about? Ah, man.
I love it. Good stuff. Keep you on your toes. He has to keep you on your toes.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say, to the breakaway thing, last point. I've been better over the past couple years because I adopted the five hole. I never used to go five hole. Do it a lot now.
Yeah, you do like the five cheddar. And goalies, man. In leagues we're playing, goalies aren't good enough to cover that up quick enough. So if you can get a quick release off, you'll be good.
Yeah, that's but how do you? But you, but most of your shots just sail to the top.
I gotta keep them down. I have a breakaway stick that I grab from the bench.
Sail to the corner. Curve.
Sail the wide glass. For a 2-on-1.
Back the other
Ryan
way.
Ryan left hanging. Back there with the fence. 2-on-1.
Okay, big story of the week. Won't spend too much time on this, but it is the big story. It's the sexual allegations against five players from the 2018 junior Canada team.
The old gang rape case.
Yeah, that's
sure seems that way.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure sounds like what it is. That's what's flying around.
That's what it is. Yeah, they got caught. The old four team didn't. That's it.
And the four names that are flying around from the NHL this season, they four players that asked for a leave: Hart, Dubé, McLeod, and Foote. And then, of course, Formanton is not playing for the Senators this season, but he was another guy that did ask for a leave from his team. So looks like we're looking at five players. From a fantasy perspective, Hart, the way McLeod was playing, he was right there too. And maybe Dubé, although he's not having a great year. From a fantasy perspective, these guys, you got to assume you're not going to be with them for the rest of the year.
Yeah, if they are in fact are tied to it, which, you know, we don't want to connect any dots, but it looks like they're done for the season. Like, I don't see any way, shape, or form that we're going into February now where they decide to play for the next 3 months. So it's all but shit out of luck. You gotta most likely drop them. Maybe if you're in a deep keeper league and you think Hart is worth it,
just go drop for him. It.
But this might be a big. I have no idea what the NHL is going to do. Like,
yeah, it's a big story. But I'm not going to say funny, but I guess it kind of was. Like, I was curious because Formanton's the only guy, and that's kind of been roped into this, that isn't playing in the NHL this year. So I went on DB, and I'm like, I'm just curious to see what this guy's doing overseas. And then you see his face pop up, and like, you know, they say, you know, in today's day and age, you're basically
you can tell. Yeah,
you see the face, and you're like, you know,
this guy's not innocent. I'm going to do it right now, actually.
You know what?
And he's also a former London Knight, too. So, you know, he's known in London, right?
Can I just say, they're just allegations, so obviously these guys aren't guilty yet. But, you know, if you're hitting up the same girl with a bunch of your buddies, you're a loser. You're an absolute loser. I mean, maybe that's a hot take, but I just think that's an absolutely disgusting move.
No, I don't think that's a hot take at all. I agree. I mean, 2-on-1s, I feel like, happen a lot.
Whatever, 2-on-1, maybe it's more of a hot take, but I still think you're a loser. I'm sorry, Brian.
Oh, yeah, Mike. Oh, yeah, for 100%. His hockey DB photo? Oh, buddy, he's got the rum nose going. Oh, absolutely.
I got to see this.
This guy, I'm not even going to, it's not even a question. It's a 100%. No, I'm kidding.
There he is for YouTube.
Yeah, that's definitely damning evidence, just looking like that.
And he hasn't played in the NHL since 2022.
Oh,
so
my God.
What'd you say?
Oh, nothing. Joe just said
he hasn't played in two years.
The picture just came up for me, and it was like,
oh yeah, it's a tough look. The long hair makes it worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then, because then here, I saw that, and then I'm like,
there he is with short hair.
There you go. I saw it, and then I'm like, all right, let me search up Hart, because from what I remember, he's like this like sweet young goalie. And then, then you see them all, and you're like, Dubé.
Yeah. Oh, man. Not saying they are, but they could be scumbags.
They could be. That's right.
That's a shame.
Guilty before proven innocent is today's day and age.
Yeah, pretty much.
We like to operate.
Yeah, that's exactly. Like to operate. So we don't want to be like that because I hate the way that works.
Yeah, I know.
It's just, like, you know, we're just teasing. But obviously it's a serious matter, and we hope that gets resolved, and it is what it is.
And the right outcome is results in the right outcome. Okay. Fantasy players of the night. We start with, let me just pull it up here. We start with Kirill Kaprizov. Hat trick in a 5-2 win in Carolina. Kirill's on a bit of a tear. 19 goals, 26 assists, 45 points in 42 games this season. Problem is, the time he's missed, the Wild have just taken a hot dump. And looks like they're not going to make the playoffs. They got a lot of work to do.
No. Flowers out of there. Yeah, and
Kirill finally getting back what he was going to do, because he was struggling there for a bit, but there's no surprise at all that he's finally picked up right back up.
Yeah,
We don't got to say too much about Kaprizov, but let's talk about the Wild a little bit. I just want them to sell off. Get Flower. Get rid of Fleury. I want to see him going on a run with whoever.
Yeah, he will.
Yeah, I'm all for that.
Colorado.
Fleury's like a... when he retires, I think we're going to miss him the NHL will miss him more than anything, because he's a character, that guy.
100%.
Yeah. He's great for the
league. He's like Luongo. Like, he was like kind of later in his career.
Yeah.
Like, turned and more. Not that he was ever a heel, but he turned more face, and he's just a guy that everybody loves.
And he's also the last one of like that era where, like, our era, where the generation of goaltenders, like you know, Brodeur, Hasek, Luongo, Price, Fleury, like that era. And it's even like, never mind in an NHL standpoint, Canadian goaltending standpoint too. Like, if we were our best on best right now tournament, Aiden Hill might be Canada's starter.
Man, Hill, frick, great numbers.
Yeah, like he might be Canada's starter going into a tournament.
Which is insane to think of it.
Hey, Mike, speaking of Kaprizov, he completed the 5-pack last night for our anytime scorers. That was a nice little Saturday night story.
I wish we parlayed that.
Can you imagine? What would that have gotten you?
It's been a huge payout. So for people that don't know, so every Saturday we're affiliated with Bet99, of course. So we each, the four of us and Lopo, we pick a guy who's going to score, and we keep standings based on units, and all five of us.
I still don't know how those standings work. Right over the head.
Yeah, I get it. It's okay. So, the one who keeps track of the standings.
Joe. I don't. Yeah, I don't.
Joe doesn't gamble. Thing. That's why
I don't need to. Yeah.
But what do you think that payout is? Let's say you know, $100. You put $100 on a goal from Draisaitl, Kaprizov, Barbashev, who are then the other two guys?
Would have been, I think the odds would have been like plus at least. Well, if none of them were minus money to score, right, Mike?
No, they were all plus money.
They're all plus money. So probably added up to like plus almost 1,000, plus 9 something. So you get about $1,000 back.
No,
probably.
I think it'd be much more. Because there's a multiplier once you go, because the chances of even hitting,
it could be
two
like five,
hitting
grand
on three,
all of them hitting. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a big time multiplier once you start parlaying.
Yeah, it could be like $5,000. Yeah. Point is, none of us did it, so we can't know or talk about it because it didn't happen.
All right.
Okay. The following night we had Thatcher Demko, another no surprise one here. 31 save shutout. 2-0 win versus Chicago.
It's a good thing. I mean, it's actually a good thing that Lopo's not on the show because he'd be wiping his cum off his camera right now.
Yeah. 26-8-1, 244 GAA, 920 save percentage. We know this guy is going to be up for the Vezina at the end of the year.
And the heart.
And, yeah.
And the heart.
I don't know. You know, I was just grabbing his numbers there. Like, Hellebuck's numbers are actually better.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Not by much. His goals against is a little bit better than
Hellebuck's percentage. Hellebuck's numbers are better, though.
But I'm pretty sure I think his like high danger chances and all that, like the numbers skew towards Demko as per the analytics. But I think I saw that online or I heard it somewhere on a podcast or whatever. But yeah, it's going to be interesting.
You know who else's numbers are similar that should be probably getting a little bit more love than he is? It was our Thursday night fantasy player of the night, Alex Lyon. I know it sounds a little crazy, Joe, but this guy might be the answer to the Red Wings postseason. He had a 31 save shutout of his own, 3-0 win against Philly, 13-6-1, 249 GAA, 924 save percentage. He's the guy in Detroit, man. And, you know, the sample size is now 20 games. He's playing really well.
If he's the guy in Detroit, really? Detroit's not making the playoffs. Put it that way.
That is just...
I don't think they're making the playoffs either, but I don't think it's because of him.
I don't like that comment, Joe, because that's... he was great last year in getting Florida into the playoffs, and now he's doing it again this year, and you're just dumping on his chest. I don't agree with that.
Yep. I'm dumping hard.
Okay. Great reasoning there.
I'm dumping hard.
If obviously in name value, he's not like, you know, there's not much there. But if the guy's playing this well, then you can't not say, oh, maybe you don't think they're going to have success if they get to the playoffs. You can't say they won't get there because of him.
No, I don't think it'll just be solely because of him. But I just don't think he will lead you to a playoff spot. And
it's not like again, he did it last year.
Like you pointed out, Anth, he did it last year. So, but I think Florida last year was a better team than Detroit. But
I don't know. You could say that in hindsight, but at the time, you know, Detroit, it's not like Detroit doesn't have some pieces. Detroit could easily make a case that Detroit is a playoff worthy team with the roster they have.
Debatable.
Okay, so following night, Tuesday, Wednesday, it was a snapshot basically into what happened all week, which has been very exciting. We had Cooch with 3 goals, 1 assist, and then McKinnon with 4 goals, 1 assist. These guys have been jostling for
position. And then Cooch went back at it. Didn't he have a 3-point night right after that or something like that? Like, they've been going back and forth. Yeah, he did.
He's vintage Cooch right now.
All week was back and forth. And where it stands now is Cooch has 85 points in 49 for the lead. McKinnon has 84 in 49. And that's a 142 and 141 pace. So watching these guys is amazing. They've pulled away from the pack. McDavid's got a lot of work to get back in there.
He ain't winning that, Art Ross.
I still think he is.
He's now the Selke winner. He's going to win the Selke apparently from everybody's, analysis of his game recently. He's going to win the Selke. He's the next coming of Bergeron.
So, you think this is going to be like a horse race where there's two guys up front and then just down the stretch comes this horse just galloping his ass off and he's going to beat them right at the finish line, McDavid?
I could see it happening, but there's also like Edmonton, who we should show some love. 16 wins in a row. That's unbelievable. Amazing. They're
one away from tying the NHL record.
Yes, Pittsburgh's record in 92-93 of 17. So Edmonton is right there. But they're doing it sort of without McDavid putting up 4 or 5 points a night. You know what I mean? They're kind of their depth guys are producing. Hyman's scoring at an incredible pace. So
I'll be the one to say it.
It's the whole team getting
Skinner's standing on his head.
Yeah, it's the whole team phenomenal. Getting it done, right? It's not like they need McDavid. They're not the McDavid show, the McDavid and Draisaitl show of like years past. So maybe McDavid doesn't get to 130, 140 points, and maybe he settles around 120 or something. Could see that happening too.
Yeah.
But it's fun to watch, man, with McKinnon and Kucherov and even Matthews. You got to throw Matthews in there with 40 goals in 46 games. Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. From a goals perspective, yeah. Unreal what he's doing. Yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun to watch. On the Oilers, while we're talking about them, 16-win streak, they added Perry to the lineup on Saturday. He played 12 minutes, 44 seconds in his debut. Two shots, two blocks. I don't think there's much here from a fantasy perspective. I cannot see a world where he plays on the top power play unit, which for me kind of
makes
me want to leave him on the wire.
Yeah, way, no how. He's not touching that top unit unless there's an injury. And even then, Vander Kane probably might be a better option on that unit than Perry.
Probably. But, Perry's got a way of bringing teams to the finish line, maybe not over
well,
it.
Well, yeah.
I was going to say, to the cup final, and then...
Yeah.
He brings the girl to the dance, but he never actually seals the deal.
The mom to the dance. we move on to Friday night. Jonathan Marchessault. He had a hat trick and a 5-2 win in New York, which is another story, man. Shesterkin is not Shesterkin. He is killing me, but I'm still going to be in first place. But that's for another day. Marchessault is 25 goals, 15 assists, 40 points in 50 games. I was very surprised to see that he's only 5 goals away from his career high being 30. So I think with a lot of these Vegas guys, they were hot to begin the year. Tapered off a bit, but Marchessault's a good little player. Shoots a ton. He's going to score like he did on Friday. Yeah.
Not much there.
We can move on to the next night. Talking about goal scorers, Brock Besser was a little bit of a slump, but he had a hat trick and an assist, 5-2 win, OT win versus Columbus. Besser has 30 goals. He reached the 30 goal mark for the first time in his career. 22 assists for 52 points in 49 games. He is just 4 points away from a career high in points. We talked about Besser, I think it was a couple weeks ago, but he's having a career year. The Canucks are good. He's right in the mix of it all. And, ride this guy till the end of the year for sure.
Apparently, Pettersson isn't doing so well. Did you hear talking the other day? Yeah, I don't like his skating. He has to move his feet a little bit more. you're criticizing your top guy and who's basically brought you where you are.
That's like, relax. Stop being a hero here. Like,
has anything to do with the contract negotiations? Like, is he trying to knock him down a peg? You know what I mean?
Maybe he's just pulling the Gratz move on you, Mike. Just kind of always trying to give you motivation. You know, he's taking it. Old Ricky's trying to take a page out of the Graziano playbook.
I don't know if the I don't know if the coach thinks about that. The contract talks, like in season. I could be totally wrong. Maybe they're that in tune, but
hey,
in the moment, I don't know if they think about that.
If the big boss man comes down and says, "Hey, you know, maybe put take a little there. Shot at Pettersson in the media."
No, I don't. I think Rick would look at him and say, "I'm about to fucking give you a shot in the head if you try to tell me what to do." So.
Which boss, Rutherford or Alvin?
Alvin to Rutherford to... Oh, wait, it goes the other way, doesn't it?
Yeah, Rutherford to Alvin to talk it. But I think it's Rutherford being like... Rutherford could be that guy like, just skip, like, hey, talk, do this.
Yeah. You know a Rutherford move is coming soon, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
He likes to get ahead of it.
Well, you heard the two names that are out there for Vancouver, right? You heard them.
Gensel and?
Lindholm. Calgary and Vancouver have already made a deal. So, And I hear that a lot. Like, watch for the teams that have already made deals together. So
it's always exciting when you, I think you're in this boat, Joe. It's always exciting when you own a guy in fantasy that is going to get dealt. Lindholm for you.
And sometimes obviously. You do that on, like, you go out and acquire guys for that reason. Like, you go out and make a fantasy trade because you want to see what, or where he goes, kind of thing, right? Like, you're anticipating him moving. Mm-hmm. So you go out and make a deal for him. So.
Yeah. We, I mean, I guess I'm in that boat with Tarasenko. I'm hoping he lands somewhere good. He'll get, yeah, he should be traded.
He should be traded. I don't see why not, why Ottawa wouldn't, but he should be.
Yeah. Okay. There, we got a few questions. There's one I really want to get to before we start wrapping. Both Anthony Calandra and Peter B23 on Instagram. They want us to talk about Cam Talbot. Talbot is 14, 13, and 5, a 259 GAA, a 911 save percentage. Not that bad. Two shutouts. But those numbers were completely fueled by a hot start. He hasn't won a game since December 23rd. And his poor play has clearly opened the door for Riddick to take the job. They're basically in a timeshare right now. They're the Kings are just reeling, and I think they're basically guaranteed to get a goalie, are they not?
You would think so. It's funny that you mentioned Talbot, because in my other pool, two goalies you've mentioned so far, actually all three goalies we mentioned on this pod today, I have Demko, no problem. The other two, totally killing me, Shesterkin and Talbot. Beginning of the year, I was sailing, smooth sailing with my goaltending, and now they're killing me. Talbot is like, and you might have been able to get, kind of predict this. Like, he is obviously the hot start wouldn't have sustained, like, he wouldn't have done it, but because he's on the Kings, you kind of anticipate that team playing well, so he will continue playing well. But he is just, he's a, can't stop a beach ball right now.
Yeah. It's bad.
I would think they would go get a goalie. Like, I would assume they would. Now, that obviously hurts Talbot's value. I just don't know who they go get. Like, is it Fleury an option? And then where do they go from there?
It's actually, it's wild to see that the Kings are now 6 points behind the Oilers. From what, like, if you could take a snapshot from, like, a month and a half ago, well, that's unpredictable. Yep. Crazy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We got time for one more question?
Yeah, do it. Yeah, I should actually hop out now, because I got a jet, so.
Okay.
So I'll see you guys next
week. Well, great to see you, bud.
Yeah, good to see you guys, too. Enjoy the rest of the episode, guys. And good luck to everyone out there next week.
See you
later. Later.
Okay, guys. Isaacs_71 wants to talk about Charlie Coyle.
Buddy, Coyle's he's having a year.
He's having a season. Who would have thought?
18 goals, 24 assists, 42 points in 49 games. He's currently riding an 8-game point streak. He is 14 points away from the career high he set in Minnesota 7 years ago.
He's already at.
We all didn't see this coming.
He's already at that same goal marker of that year too.
Yeah. We didn't see this coming. I mean, the Bruins are great, and they are getting it done with Zacha and Coyle up the middle, bottom line, and these guys are performing. But I will say, and I'll ask you, Joe, should Zacha or Coyle for sure, but should Zacha and Coyle owners be concerned that they go out and get a centerman at the deadline? Because it's got to hurt their value if they do.
You know what? Boston's tricky for me. You would think a team would go out and get a center if in their position, but Boston's for me is that team that either thinks they can sign a center long term, and what is everyone looking at Lindholm probably, because they brought in Hampus Lindholm on the back end, not his brother, but they extended him, right? So you would think they would do the same thing with a centerman. I just don't know if they want to mess with the mojo on that team, because they could be running into something that they're going. Let them go. Let them go.
Yeah.
And right, dating, and just yeah. racking back to Ant's comment before he left, he said that, you know, it's crazy the LA Kings jump and he see where they were, let's say, a month ago. So a month ago, the Kings had 36 points, were eighth in the NHL, and the Edmonton Oilers were 22nd in the NHL with 27 points. So 9-point difference. Edmonton is now 6 points ahead of them, like Ant said. And that's what, a 15-point swing?
Unreal. So
in a month and a half.
Unreal. A. Kirkpatrick on Instagram wants to talk about two guys, McTavish and Seider. First, McTavish, 13 goals, 17 assists, 30 points in 42 games. He's got 3 points in his last five, but definitely did most of his damage at the beginning of the year. He's got 33 games left. What are we thinking with this guy rest of the season? Like, what kind of pace is he on? Or what's his ceiling? How's that moving forward?
I don't know. Anaheim's one of those teams where you're kind of just free-flowing, so he could still get you points. And I don't know if it's just because I have him now and I'm just paying attention a little bit more, but Terry's going on a little bit of a run.
Terry?
Yeah, Troy Terry. So it's just, nice. Could they play off each other? Could the power play? And like they're playing for pride, obviously, because they're not playing for a playoff spot. So he could be still a value. Like, you got what, 36 games left ish so could he do a point 30, per game?
33 games left. I can't see point no. per game.
Just under.
No, he's not a point of game guy.
I just think down the stretch, yeah, maybe the hockey gets a little tighter, but
they're also averaging like, or sorry, there, he's averaging only like 15, 16 minutes a game, right? So it's not like he's getting used in every scenario, playing 20 plus minutes. So he's not on the ice. I mean, 16 minutes is enough to make an impact, but he's never been a point of game. I don't think he's going to be there.
I think he'll land around 55. And then Mo Seider, 6 goals, 20 assists, 26 points in 49 games. Awesome player for banger leagues. 80 shots, 88 hits, 113 blocks. I think his point totals have been hindered thanks to Gostisbehere this year. But man, I would love to see them just let this guy loose.
I know.
Like, let him play PP1 all the time. Like let's just see what he's capable of. I mean, his first season, I think he had 50 points and they let him go. But you're getting this situation where they have Ghost in there, and then he's,
you know who he reminds me of? What? And he was never really like a top offensive guy, but like a Hedman type.
Mm-hmm.
He reminds me of that guy who gets you points, but not a ton. He'll get you hits. He'll get you this.
Well,
maybe he'll eventually run the first power play unit with the top.
Hedman's had his huge years, Joe.
No, Hedman. Yeah, Hedman's been.
You just don't think like offensive defense, like, you know what I mean? Like, you just think of Hedman as like this rock back there who gets points kind of thing, but not like this Makar type, right?
Yeah. No, he's definitely not a Makar.
That's where I'm getting to kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
where he could get more, but he's not.
Let's hope they let him loose at some point. Okay, some key injuries this week. I probably missed some. I mean, there's Svechnikov is kind of day-to-day. He should be back after the break. Pacioretty got hurt on Saturday night, which is really sad. Hopefully it's nothing major. I think they said it's not his Achilles, which is good. But That's what I got for injuries. Week ahead. Now it's the All-Star break coming up. Most teams are off until after it at this point. But we do have a slate of one game on Monday, two games on Tuesday, and three games on Wednesday. We have two game weeks from Ottawa, Nashville, and San Jose. So if you're looking for an ad, probably looking at one of those teams, but you should be aware, and this comes up all the time, and I think Yahoo actually sent a note out. Your matchups are likely 2 weeks long. So if you're allotted like three moves or four moves, the moves you make in week one of two count. So
yes,
I would suggest saving them. If you only get three, I would suggest probably saving them. Or getting out in front of it and doing it now. I mean, it's really up to you. But if you are looking to make a move, make a pickup, your options are, again, Ottawa, Nashville, San Jose. From those teams, based on who's likely available, you're looking at Zetterlund, Pinto, Joseph, and at 24%, which is lower than I thought, Josh Norris. And that's would be my pickup of the week. If he's available, would go Norris. If not, I would go Pinto. Both guys are on Ottawa's PP1 right now.
And both guys are on my team.
I'm going to say maybe in other leagues, not in our league. Our league is you have a guy playing on the fourth line once is picked up in our league. So
yeah, no, they're not available in our league. No. They're on this guy's team, but I'm free falling, so it's not even an issue.
You know, that Ottawa top six is so good. It's just shocking. It's shocking they are where they are.
Well, don't worry. They're going to put a run together in the back half of the season, and they're just going to miss out by like 3 points.
You think?
Well, they've done it all. They've done it the last 2 years.
Well, coming from a guy who has Norris and Pinto, so everybody take that with the greatest.
You know what's
okay? I'm the LA Kings version. I'm the LA Kings of our league. Started out hot. Started out great. Now I'm just an average team because I'm free falling, and I'm going to go lower and lower.
Oh boy.
You know what's the crazy thing is, like, we were talking about Boston, and I just went to their like daily faceoff, look at their lines. Like, you look at their top six against Ottawa's top six, and you're like, I don't understand. This doesn't make any sense. Like, why is this team so? Obviously, it's not just about top six, but it's like, okay, Pasta obviously a stud, Marchand obviously a stud, Zach and Coyle are your number one and two centers. Trent Frederick and JVR back from the dead is on that. Like, that, how is that a top six that's like anything, man? It doesn't make any sense.
But with the Bruins, too, I've noticed and I've heard, don't even look at their lines because they change them every single night.
Yeah, they're like Sheldon Keefe, I guess, probably.
But it just goes to show you, man, the value of experience, it goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
It really does.
Mm-hmm. And good goaltending. That doesn't hurt either.
Well, that's a big part too. All right, boys.
Good show.
Welcome back, Bri. Back in the country.
Yes. Glad to have you back. And that's it. Thank you for listening. Of course, as always, stay tuned to our X, or what we're calling Twitter, I guess.
It's Twitter. It's always going to be Twitter. I don't care.
Always.
Thanks.
Our Instagram. Stay tuned to that, of course, all week. And we'll chat with you next week. Good luck in your pools.
Ciao.
Buonanotte.